Today on The Balanced Word, appreciating all that God does for us.
Do you understand? God isn't trying to get something out of you or me. What God's trying to do is to give something to us. We so often give people the impression that, you know, God saves you and then he sucks you dry. You know, that he needs you to harvest from you all those things that he needs in order to get his will done. No, God doesn't need you. What he wants to do is give to you. And he will give you more than you could ever give anyway. But he says, don't even think about what you need to give me. You don't have to give me anything. Let's just write that off right now. And he goes, here's what I want. I want you to appreciate what I am giving you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
In the first half of the 17th century, Germany was in the midst of wars and famine and pestilence. Living at that time was a pastor by the name of Martin Rinkert. You might be surprised to discover he wrote a song on Thanksgiving at that time. This dear pastor wrote 66 sacred songs and hymns. Among them was the song, Now Thank We All Our God. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll be encouraged to be thankful at all times as we turn to Psalm 50. Welcome to the program. Are you a thankful person? If you're a Christian, you should be. There's plenty to be thankful about, even though the world is a mess right now. Here's Pastor Dave Rolf.
Making our way through the Bible, and we're here in the book of Psalms. You know, I suppose it's true that we're all crazy, but we're all just crazy with different diseases. And one of the things that's really common among Christians and among people who are good people is something that they call codependence. Codependence is when you really need to be needed. It's like that old song, I want you to want me, I need you to need me, I'd love you to love me, I'm begging you to beg me. Didn't I say? Most of you are too young to even remember the song. But it's that feeling of, oh, I need to be needed. I want someone to be depending on me. There's another pathology that's narcissism that says, I just want people to take care of me. I don't need anyone, but hey, it's great to have people help me out. And so narcissists have a tendency to surround themselves with codependence. We take our own kookiness, though, and so often we apply it to God, and it's how we understand God. As we create God kind of in our image, and I think as a result, because so often we have a tendency to have that codependent sort of thing, when we design our image of God, we want to believe that God really needs us. That with us and God, it's kind of a mutual dependence, really. The idea, and it's propagated all the time by so much of what is preached, because we want to give people opportunities to give, and we want to give people opportunities to serve. And so the easy thing is to just let people feel like God's in big trouble. You know, God's broke. God loves everyone, and he means well, but man, he's got himself in a jam. And we better get all together and bail him out of the mess that he's in. And so if we often say things like, the only arms God has is human arms, and the only Bible that some people will see is you. And as a result, we kind of spread this idea that we better chip in and bail God out. We better help him. But the truth is, the Bible teaches, God doesn't really need our help. He doesn't ask for it. He's not the one that's appealing and saying, you guys, I have this great idea, but there's not enough money. So if everyone would chip in a few bucks, hey, we're in good shape. That's not God. And here in Psalm 50, we have a picture of God that makes that very clear. The first six verses of the psalm describe how mighty God is. And then God begins to speak in verse 7. And he says, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. What he's saying is, I see you doing the right things. You're going through the motions. You're showing up for worship. You're sacrificing animals. And I'm not criticizing you for what you're not doing. But here's the thing. I will not take a bull from your house nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? God says, listen up. I'm God, you're not. I'm your God. I love you. And I see you going through the motions of religion. And I'm not criticizing you for what you're doing. But there's something wrong here, because somehow you're getting the idea that I need you, that I'm trusting in you, depending on you, that you have to come through for me. And God says, think about it. What you do for me, do you think it really helps me? Do you think that when I tell you to sacrifice and you do, that somehow that makes me feel better? Well, we so often have this idea of God where he is needy. We hear it said often. You know, God created man because he just needed some company. Poor little God, he was just kind of sad and miserable all here in the universe by himself. And so he needed some help. And so he made us so that God could be complete. No, God says here, believe me, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you for any help. If I really needed help, you know, I could take care of myself. I don't need you. Now, we can look at this, and it sort of hurts our feelings in a way, because we like to feel needed. That's a part for us of appreciation, really. Well, the Bible says that if you do things right, when you get to heaven, you'll hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the truth is, many of us would rather hear God say when we enter into heaven, it's good to see you. I couldn't have done it without you. We want to know that somehow we had this personal impact on the program of God. As a result, we mistakenly lay that trip on people. Now, why is it so important to recognize that God doesn't need us? I think, at least for a part of it, is there's a pressure when we really think that God needs us. And God has never wanted us to operate under pressure. He's always wanted what we do for him, what we give to him, to be something that just comes from our heart. He says, he loves a cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly or of necessity. If you're doing something because you feel like you have to do it, it takes the joy out of it. In some ways, it takes the reality out of it. If you're religious because you're trying to be a good person because you're afraid that if you do this, ooh, it'll be a bad witness and people won't get saved and the universe will self-destruct because you didn't do the right thing, there's a pressure there. Always feeling like, oh, I have to be so careful. I want to make sure. I don't want to let God down. You know what? You let God down a long time ago. And so many times, it's not even an issue. What God wants to do for you is a glorious thing, really. He wants to take the pressure off of you completely and tell you, you don't ever have to give another thing or do another thing for the rest of your life if you don't want to. I want this to be about relationship, he says. Let me lift the pressure from you. Now, most of you, I think when you got married, if you're married, if you've been married several times, you've gone through this cycle before where you just really want to spend the rest of your life with someone. It just seems like a great privilege. But over time, it can become where, well, I'm staying married mainly because I feel like I have to. When I have people come to me for counseling, often I'll say, well, let me just ask you this. Why don't you guys just get a divorce? Why are you still married? And they'll say, well, you know, I mean, we promised. God said, okay. So is that why he wants you to stay married? Because you're stuck? Well, you know, the kids, and besides, we can't afford two places, and, you know, the hassles, and it's a bad witness to our relatives. And it's, oh, so having a really awful relationship, that's okay? That's something that's good? We can so easily fall into this mentality of just resolve. Okay, I'm going to gut it out. I can't possibly live that much longer, and I think I'll make it. I saw the other day that in Las Vegas, they have a drive-through wedding chapel. You know, that's commitment. Okay, I'll marry you. I'm not going to get out of the car, though. And it's like, is that really what you want in relationship? Is that really where it's at? Well, you wouldn't want that kind of a relationship, and God doesn't either. And so he lays it out for the people here. He goes, I'm your God. You're my people. But look, I don't need you. Let me remove the pressure from you right now and tell you, you don't have to do this. There's nothing you have to do. I don't want you serving me if it's a burden. But now as we read on, he says, here's what I want. Look at verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High, or have a normal interactive relationship with God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you and you shall glorify me. Offer to God thanksgiving. That's what he wants. Do you understand? God isn't trying to get something out of you or me. What God's trying to do is to give something to us. We so often give people the impression that, you know, God saves you and then he sucks you dry. You know, that he needs you to harvest from you all those things that he needs in order to get his will done. No, God doesn't need you. What he wants to do is give to you. And he will give you more than you could ever give anyway. But he says, don't even think about what you need to give me. You don't have to give me anything. Let's just write that off right now. And he goes, here's what I want. I want you to appreciate what I am giving you. And I want you to express that thanksgiving. It's the most glorious worship that you could have, is to be thankful. It's a reminder to us that thanksgiving is what it's all about in our relationship with God. It's where it all starts. It's the basis on which we come to him, and it's the basis on which we continue to fellowship with him. He's going, I'm your God. I am going to take care of you. You sit back and let me bless you, and all you need to do is say thank you. That's what I ask. That's what I want. Because I want a relationship that I can, that everyone can depend on. And so it's got to depend on me if it's going to work. And so he goes, let me just love you. Let me just give to you. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'll feed you. You don't need to feed me. I'll give to you. You just say thank you. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one of the 10 came back and said thank you. He was a Samaritan, and Jesus said to him, where are your 9 buddies? I thought I just healed 10. Only one said thank you. I'm sure he still has that feeling. When he sees all that he does for us, and then how seldom we return to give thanks. And even on Thanksgiving, the time when we honor Indians or whatever it is that people think we honor, but Native Americans, but a time when we are going, oh, we're so thankful. How much do we really thank them for? Turkey? Dressing? You know, all the other fixings? And then some generic thank yous. God, thank you for life. Thank you for family. Thank you for salvation. Okay, now let's eat. But Thanksgiving is something that is the very central focus of our lives as Christians. It shouldn't be something that we do periodically or annually. It's something that we need to do consistently and constantly. The Bible tells us to be thankful in everything. It also says to be thankful for everything. Everything that happens has an element for which we can thank God and glorify him. This week, I had kind of a frustration at the end of the week. Well, earlier in the week, my computer was kind of on the fritz. It was slowing down a lot, and I just thought, oh, this is bad. So I prayed, and it got better, and it started working until Friday morning. It wouldn't fire up at all. My hard drive had crashed. It was damaged. Well, I had just started keeping regular backups. I've never backed up my computer in my life, but I just started doing it a couple months ago, and so I had this little drive that I had bought, and it was backed up, and I thought, okay, no problem. But then that drive wouldn't mount. Something was wrong with it too. And I tried different utilities. I worked all day into the night, 3:30 in the morning. And it's just like, this just isn't happening. I spent Saturday morning a lot of the time still trying to bring it up using every program I could think of. And I'm just thinking, oh man. And I decided, you know, I'm just going to take a break and go for a ride on my motorcycle. And I knew I was meditating on this passage and thinking about Thanksgiving. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to go ride my motorcycle and just thank God for everything I see that I can think of. And so it was easy. Went down to the beach and driving down the coast. It's a beautiful day. The water's blue. The sky is clear. There's sailboats. It was just gorgeous. And I'm thanking God for all of the beauty and just enjoying him. And then I thought, wait, I need to thank him for the computer problem too. And I'm like, okay, God, I thank you for allowing my disk to crash. But God, on my disk is everything I've ever written in my life. And I don't have it backed up anywhere else. a whole study Bible is on there. All files that I created many years ago, all of my contacts, all of my appointments, my life is on that thing. And then I thought, you know what? This is kind of nice. All of a sudden, this huge burden is lifted. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to know anything. I don't have to contact anyone. I don't even have to go to my appointments. And I just started thanking God, and I'm riding, actually went over the ferry at Balboa, and I'm just going, God, I thank you so much. All of a sudden, my life just got freer. 80 gigabytes of burden lifted off of me. And I'm just like going, this is great. And I just thanked God for it and thought, if this is what it is, this is what it is. And so got back home, went over to a friend's house, and he had some different utilities that I didn't have, and we tried to mount the drives, and it just wasn't working. It just wasn't there, and he's pretty sharp. And so then we said, well, forget it. Let's just watch Ultimate Fighting and enjoy it. And as we're watching the UFC, and there are these bouts, and then after that was over, the UFC game was, there was still half of that left, and watching that, and all of a sudden into my head came this thought of something that I hadn't tried before. And because this backup drive that I have, two of them actually, were both, they get power from the USB port. This may not make sense to most of you, but I thought, I wonder if I juice up and put some more power to it, if that might make a difference. And sure enough, I was able to mount the drive. And after church, I'll go up in my office and find out if I actually have that stuff or not. But I honestly don't care. At this point, I was sort of looking forward to losing my data. Everything in our lives is that way, though. If God brings it into our lives, it's a blessing. It's something for which to thank him. It's something that we can go, okay, God, you are good to me. He's done way too much for us to be questioning whether or not he's good, for us to be looking at our lives and going, I don't think I approve of this. I don't think I like that. Hey, God is good. He is blessing us. And if we open our eyes to that, it's amazing how it changes our perspective. It's amazing how our relationship with him can become a relationship and not just a reciprocal sort of business deal where he scratches our back and we scratch his. He goes, you shut down, shut down, shut down, ding. But he goes, you shut up and sit down and let me bless you. Let me do something for you. That's what I want. Now, that sounds very selfish. And for us, who we've had this burden all our lives that we need to perform and we need to come through and we can't disappoint God and we don't want to break his heart and let him down and cause the sinners to turn away from God because, you know, it's hard to just go, no, this year I'm just going to receive. I'm just going to take. But I'm suggesting to you that it would be really good for you to let go of everything you're doing because you have to, you need to, they expect it of you, and just say, you know what? I think God just wants to bless me. And so I'm going to let him bless me, and my burden, I'll thank him. I'll express that, and let me allow a relationship to develop with God, whereby it's just a normal interchange, but it's not a heavy weight. It's not something that I have to do. Now you go, well, what if I don't want to do that? Well, as we read on in the passage, we see what happens if you don't say thank you, if you don't receive from God, if you think instead that he's depending on you and you grunt it out and you do it. He says, but to the wicked, you either thank or you're wicked. He doesn't present any middle ground. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? He says, you're going through the motions of religion. You're talking a good game. You're going through what you think you ought to do. But he said, you know what? I don't even want you representing me because you're making me look weak and pathetic. So here's what happens. If you think that I need you, and therefore as a result, you don't need to thank me. You need to thank yourself. He goes, I don't even want you representing me. Seeing verse 17, you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. See, this happens when you're not thankful. You don't want instruction. You don't want to learn more. You have this feeling, God starts to speak to you and you're like, I don't want to hear it, man. I already have too much I need to do. I'm overloaded. I'm overburdened. Please don't give me one more thing. That's what happens when you're not thankful. You hate instruction. Throw his words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. See, it starts to look like, you know, if it's depending on me, I better get an advantage here. I better take a shortcut. And so you begin to steal. And you've been a partaker with an adulterer. You get so weighted down and so burdened that you just every once in a while just give up on all your commitments. I can't do this. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You say what you have to say. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. There's a division within the family. We're at odds banging heads because, hey, we're all slave labor basically. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, and that's the ultimate problem. We build this situation where God is built in our design, and we think God's like us. He said, but I'm going to rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Let me straighten you out here. Now, consider this, you who forget God, or forget that you're not God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. God says, what happens when you begin to think that I need you? And then you're serving me because you see that I need, you know, I'm in trouble. And that's your image. It's idolatry. You've got this huge God and you've boiled him down to a little God that needs your help. Or a little God that you can sit on judgment on him as to whether you think what he's doing is really right or not. He goes, you stop saying thank you. And you'll end up turning your back on everything that matters. You're the people who are closest to you. You'll turn on them. You'll fight amongst yourselves.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Here's Pastor Dave with the closing thought with what can easily pull us away from being thankful to God.
You know, I think in Christianity, it gets pretty brutal when we attack other religions sometimes. But Christians, though we attack other religions maybe more than we should, there's anything worse that we do than that, it's that we attack other Christians. It's a lot meaner when Christians start arguing with Christians than it ever is when Christians are arguing with someone else. Because, again, there's this desperation. I have to defend God. I've got to stand up for his glory. There are people who are distorting the picture, and I need to fix it. And again, that's a part of that codependency. It's that thing within us that when we see something wrong, we go, it must be for me to fix this. You can tell if that's the way you were, if during worship, in the first song, when the pictures of Pedregales were flashing, you were like looking around going, does anyone know? The lyrics aren't up there. Oh, no. You know. And then, and this is personal, during All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and you go, it says, let angels prostrate fall. It's a geometry term. That's not, it should be angels. Does anyone know that? You're really codependent if you got to the point and they'll know we are Christians by our love and you're just worshiping the Lord and they got snapped right out of worship because spirit on the last page wasn't capitalized and it should be because it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And you live your life like, let me fix everything. This is my, oh man. What happens is, as soon as we do that, we go from praising and thanking God, from going, you know, and for me, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels, what? And now I'm like, who wrote the lyrics in there? Doesn't first service, I told somebody to go tell them it's angels, not angles, and they didn't fix it. And I'm like, oh, the next thing, crown him. I missed the worship. And that's what we do in our lives. We start thinking that we matter, that we're important, that we have to fix everything. Next thing we know, we're pulled right out of worshiping God and being thankful to him.
Don't miss the conclusion of Dave Rolfe's message, Thanks But No Thanks, on the next Balanced Word, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.